Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this time together that we have tonight, every Tuesday and Thursday night. And I ask, Lord, that you bless us with your anointing tonight, Lord, every one of us, Lord. We so long for this revival to start. We so long for this anointing, Father, that's going to come and set the captives free, Lord. We so long, Lord, for your coming, Lord, and we just ask and we pray that tonight would be a special time, and that testimonies of your glory would come out, Lord, and we just praise you for all you're going to do in each one of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's see, I better meet some people here. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests or would like to pray about something? Well, Father, I just thank you for you being our God as you guide us and you direct us, Father, and you protect us and you provide for us, Lord. No other God on the face of the earth does that like you do it, Lord. You're the all-supreme, all-knowing God that does everything and ordains everything around us, Father, for one thing, for a couple of things, and that is to mature your people. And I thank you, Lord, that we can depend upon you for answers to our questions. Not only that, Lord, that you would guide us and direct us in the steps that you want us to go. And when we misstep, Lord, you put us back on that road and brush the dust off of us and get us back on there, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. I ask, Lord, that you protect Tim and Luke as they go back up to Ohio tomorrow and coming back Thursday, Lord, that you would protect them on the way there and on the way back, and that it would be a glorious time with you, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless everybody in this fellowship tonight to know that they are exactly where you want them to be, Lord. And if they're not, I ask, Lord, that you give them dreams, visions, and words of knowledge, Lord, that would tell them where they need to be. It looks like, Lord, that we're coming to this great happening on this earth called the tribulation. And we ask and we pray for your supreme guidance, Lord, in all that we do, Lord. Let us know when danger comes, Lord. Let us know where you want us to be. Let us know, Lord, all those things that we have to know and we need to know. And we thank you, Lord, for supernatural occurrences all the time, because that's going to be a normal thing for the believer, the true believer. And I praise you for that, Lord. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I just praise you, Lord, for all you're doing in every one of us, Lord, getting us ready for this great awakening. And that's what I like to call it, because it is, because you're going to awaken the sleepy Christians in the mainline denominational churches and the rest of them too, Lord. You're going to wake them up and they're going to come running to the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your great, great grace and mercy, Father, that you're fixing to pour out upon your people. And Lord, I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, to help us all get into that place where you need us to be, and to be in the bride, Lord. Forgive us for those things that we simply keep on, that seemingly keep on stumbling on, Lord, and help us to get over that hump, Lord, this last hump, so to speak. Help us to get over it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I thank you for your words that you've given us in the morning prayer groups, also in the outreach out there too, Lord. We've been getting some good word from people out in the outreach as well. And Father, we thank you for that, because we're piecing them all together, Lord, and you're showing us a picture. And we We definitely thank you for it, and we ask, Lord, that you keep them coming too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yes. Go ahead, Judy.
Yep. Okay. I just want to pray for all of our family and relatives.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, I want to bring up all the UBM fellowship people, the men and women that are in the inner UBM and the outer UBM, everyone that's connected with UBM. I just pray that you will bring in all of our relatives, our friends, our close relatives that are our immediate relatives, Lord. I know that we are holding fast in household salvation, and we know that you will do that for us because we believe in you, and you are an awesome, awesome God. So, Lord, we want to thank you so very much for doing this for us, and we praise you and praise you for doing what we have asked of you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace, and we love you, Lord. Thank you very much. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else want to pray? We all need to pray, but do you want to pray?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just I want to pray that my sister had called me and asked me if I would share something at the funeral tomorrow. And I got up this morning. Actually, it was yesterday. I got up yesterday morning, and I just started putting down, you know, just everything I'd like to share. And it's probably about 2 hours. And it's like, I know I'm in total work as far as that. And I know I just need to be led of the Lord and be in the rest. But it was, you know, I started off doing a Bible study on the kingdom of heaven. And I thought I would talk about that. And I mean, there's just so much there. And so I've got all these different thoughts, and I've just got to just get in the rest and let the Lord open up the door. So Father, I just ask, Lord, you just guide and direct me, Lord, that you just show me exactly what you want me to bring forth. And Lord, I see I'm kind of in works. You know, I just have a burden for my family, and I know that you're not going to honor that. You know, I just got to get out and get myself out of the way and get into the rest and know that you're just going to guide my lips. And Lord, we just thank you for giving me wisdom and just guidance to speak into my family, just a plant and water and just lightly and, you know, with no agenda. Other than to just be a light and share the good news, Lord, we just thank you for just wisdom, Lord, and guidance, and thank you for just putting a stop or a watch before my lips, and let me be edifying to you and edify my family and whoever shows up at the funeral tomorrow. And Lord, we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for wisdom and the words to say that would change people's lives tomorrow. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, anybody else? What about a testimony or a praise report?
Hey, Michael, it's me again.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody's listened to David's Sunday night, but it is awesome. For some reason, it is just administered to me so well. I've actually listened to it. I'm going on the third time. So I woke up. I mean, I listened to it yesterday, and then last night I woke up at like 4 in the morning and got up for a little while, and then just put the headphones on and listened to it again. And I ended up falling asleep, but then today I got back up and listened to it. But I was really seeing where, you know, as far as in my life, where sometimes we see, we get into trials or situations and we start, you know, the enemy comes in and we start questioning, you know, is this, you know, am I really being led of the Lord? Am I really called? Am I, you know, you just, when you go through a bunch of trials and that, you get a little bit worn down and then you start, you know, questioning, you know, who you are in Christ or, you know, are you anointed? Or, you know, all this stuff you just kind of go through. And I know it's the enemy, and you step out of the faith. And he really was talking about how we, put ourselves under the law and step out of faith and step out of the grace that the Lord has given us. And I mean, there's a reason for these trials and it is perfecting us. We hate it when we're going through it, but there is, you know, is perfection there, you know, perfecting us. And I look back 6 months to a year and, you know, the Lord's grown me up but it's been all these trials. But so I just encourage, I don't know if anybody else has listened to it or if they've got, you know, just revelation. But I just thought it was an awesome teaching, Dan. Amen.
Boy, it was. It was an awesome teaching, and I recommend it to everybody. I would encourage you to listen to it. It's 2 hours of nothing but good, solid biblical teaching on your walk with Christ. And it is awesome. I'm like Tim. I listened to it once and I've gone back and started it again, but I'll probably listen to it 3 or 4 times so I can get it in my spirit, because it helped me too, Tim. It helped me too. And I'm sure it'd help everybody. Did anybody else listen to the broadcast last night or not before last?
Yeah, Michael, I thought it was great. Just agree with Tim all the way. I haven't listened to it again, but I'm sure going to, because I thought it was really great.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. I thought it was awesome.
Michael?
Yes?
I've listened to it a couple of times, and I'm getting ready to listen to it probably 2 more times. It is so loaded with food for the body of Christ, and blessed that we have David.
Oh, amen. 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 Anybody? Go ahead.
Well, Jeanette and I have listened to it twice, and we really got a lot out of it. Lifting burdens off of us also. Just getting out from under that law-type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll help you. It'll really help you. You know, I know people that beat themselves up because they're not where they think they should be in Christ. And if you ever had that thought in your head, you need to listen to it. You need to listen to it. It's an awesome, awesome teaching. And it's appropriate for today. All right, anyone else? Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Hey, Michael, I'll share something.
Hey. All right.
Sunday night, there was just a few of us that were just looking for something to do, and somebody mentioned that there was going to be a fireworks show in Knoxville, and so we decided that, well, you know, we didn't have anything going, so we ended up jumping in the car and driving to Knoxville, and had no idea. I didn't have an idea what we were about to walk into. But this was apparently something they've done for, I think, the last 29 years, and they were saying this was going to be the last year. So we got up there, and actually we got up there early because we were just, you know, didn't have anything to do. So we got up there early, and we found a place in a parking garage. We were kind of like up in this parking garage, and it was actually down in the river, and there's like a street that runs across this river. And then there's a couple of, you know, bridges that go across, but there's a huge bridge that goes across this river. And what they did was they launched everything from this bridge, and I've never seen fireworks like this in my life. It was just so amazing. They did it to music. And, I mean, this bridge was huge. It was probably a quarter mile long or something. I mean, it was a huge bridge. And they had like, I mean, at one point they had like these fireworks just, you know, it looked like water just flowing off the bridge, you know, just coming down into the water. And it was just, I don't know, it was just amazing stuff that was going on. And, I mean, they had fireworks being shot out of the water. And, you know, it was kind of neat. But what I wasn't prepared for was there was over 200,000 people that was down in this little valley. And it was kind of interesting because it was just all walks of life. And it was, you know, anywhere from, you know, families to elderly to teenage to people that were in wheelchairs. I mean, it was just this, you know, just amazing amount of people in one place. And I've never, you know, been in a situation like that with that many people. And we decided to go for a walk, and we're just walking through these crowds of people. And it was pretty amazing, but I was just getting just revelation as far as, I mean, these were just people that came down for a fireworks, and there was 200,000 people down there. And but walking through these crowds of people, looking at these people, I was just getting this like eerie feeling of what it's going to be like when, you know, the shaking comes and people can't get gasoline or whatever it is, when people come out of where they're at, you know, in a city like that, and there's that many masses of people. I mean, I was just, for some reason, I was just seeing this in the spirit, and it was, I don't know, it was very sobering, but it was, I don't know how to explain it, but I was like there in the spirit, and I was seeing what the future is going to be like, you know, when there is a shaking and people are just, you know, walking, coming out of their places, looking for food, looking for, you know, whatever. So, but, and it's a lot of people. So I just want to share that. It was just a weird revelation, but I was just seeing, you know, times to come for some reason.
Well, yeah, that's good. It's not going to be, hey, Judy, you forgot to mute your phone, I guess.
Yeah, I'm muted.
Yeah, it's going to be a time of prayer for sure, but it's going to be a devastating time for the people in the world. Those who don't know Christ, they're not going to know what to do. They're not going to know, you know, they're not going to know how to react. They've never been in that situation before where they can't get the things that they need, the everyday things that they're used to are going to be shut down, and it's going to be a chaos there for a while. All right, anyone else?
Hello, yes. Michael.
Yes, Claudia. Oh, is that Gano?
This is Gano.
There must have been two of us.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, go.
I'm not sure who you're saying go to.
Yeah, go ahead, Gano.
Okay. Well, I was just going to share a word that I got yesterday, and I was just, I guess it just really made my heart burst, I could say.
Okay.
But anyway, when I was first just praying in the Spirit, you know, even before I asked the Lord what he had to say to me, I just had just a feeling of praise and worship in my heart, and so I was just kind of singing and praying in the Spirit. But when I got back from my walk and I was just sitting there listening to what he would say to me, this is what I heard him say. Be attentive to my voice. Learn to be still before me. Cast out all distraction. Let your eyes be single and your focus only on me. There is joy in the heavens as I call those who are mine and as I prepare their hearts to receive me.
Rejoice and be glad. Revival is here. Let the joy of your salvation come forth. For my light dispels all darkness. Where at first there is only a small glimmer, you will see it grow into a full and vibrant flame. That is the work of my spirit in the hearts of those you are praying and believing for. The day has come for a heart change, a new spirit within them. Rejoice, be glad, give thanks. Let a song of praise be on your lips. And then when I ask for a scripture for this, I opened up to, it was a 2 Thessalonians, and I started with 2 verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye were taught, whether by word or by epistle of ours. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. And then right a little bit below that is 2 Thessalonians 3:3, and this is a verse that I really like. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Anyway, I received that yesterday, and I thought it just really filled my heart with joy. I will say that. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. I thought it was a very good word.
Let me ask you to say that word again, but would you slow down just a little bit and tell us again what the Lord said? Learn to be still. What? Oh, Claudia, did you have something to say?
Yes.
All right, share.
This is kind of along the lines of what Tim just said, but I had a dream, I don't know, about a week ago where there was an operating room and all the nurses and the doctors were black, and they were dressed in black. So I just wanted to share that.
Okay. Did you have any kind of a sense of what the Lord was telling you?
Yes, I do, but I would certainly be open to what others would have to say about it. But I just felt like something is in the operation of evil going on. Something's going to happen soon.
Okay, yeah, all right. Well, we know the Northern Army's at work. So, Gaynold, are you back on?
Yes, I am. I don't know, for some reason we got cut off, I guess.
I was talking. I thought maybe I'd got the one got cut off. But what I asked was, would you share that word from the Lord again and kind of slow down a little bit for me?
Okay. You mean the scripture I read or the words that I...
The words the Lord gave you.
Okay. Be attentive to my voice. Learn to be still before me. Cast out all distraction. Let your eye be single and your focus only on me. There is joy in the heavens as I call those who are mine and as I prepare their hearts to receive me. Rejoice and be glad. Revival is here. Let the joy of your salvation come forth, for my light dispels all darkness. Where at first there is only a small glimmer, you will see it grow into a full and vibrant flame. That is the work of my spirit in the hearts of those you are praying and believing for. The day has come for a heart change and a new spirit within them. Rejoice and be glad. Give thanks. Let a song of praise be on your lips.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a good word. I like those encouraging words.
Yeah, I was really pretty excited about this. I can remember some time back when I was just singing praising the Lord here in our living room, and I wasn't really paying attention to anything else. That was just what I heard him say, praise me, and so that's what I was doing. And shortly after this, Marlon called home, and he says, well, have you heard the news? Do you know what's going on? And I said, well, no, I don't. You know, I didn't have a radio on. I didn't have any TV on. I just had the CD player on, and I was doing what I felt. I heard the Lord say, praise me, so that's what I was doing. And that was the time. And I wouldn't normally look at the clock, but I did look because he said, praise me. And it just, you know, and that was when the first plane hit the tower, the Twin Towers on 9/11. And I know when I shared that evening when we were at a prayer meeting, they kind of couldn't understand why he said, praise me. And to me, it was like, I'm there. You know, praise me, I'm there, I'm doing this.
Amen.
And anyway, so, I'm sure there's going to be some really tough times, but still he says, praise me, I'm there. I still, just hearing that is just still in my spirit. I just hear that so clearly, you know. And anyway, that's what I heard yesterday, and I was pretty excited about it, and I think my husband thought I was just being emotional.
Amen. Well, that's the Lord tells us to praise him in all things, you know, and even on the top of the mountains and the valleys too, because he's the one that ordains these things to happen.
Right.
So, praise God. That's a good word.
And he knows what he's going to work with it and through it and in it and every which way.
Yes, he does.
He just knows. And I was just so encouraged. And, yeah, I just was very encouraged.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else have a good word from the Lord? I know y'all listening to the Lord. What we're getting in the morning prayer group is we've had a few instances about the Northern Army. Of course, that's the horde of demons that are attacking God's people and trying to get them to divide into so they can get conquered by the enemy. But we persevere. We stay in there and we hold fast to the faith that God's given us, and we win. We win. We don't have, and this thing is almost over as far as fighting this army, fighting these battles that we've been fighting. It's almost over. So just encourage you to stay in there and keep fighting in the spirit for each other and even yourselves, you know. That, and also, as David has told us in the past, you know, and I don't, with this, it looks like as things happening this month, something's going to happen. You know, we've had word that the wall will be completed by the 9th, which is tomorrow, which means that sanctification for the bride. So praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. We'll see what happens. Okay, anybody else got anything you'd like to share? One of the words that we got this morning was Haggai. Let me look that up right quick. It's a good word. Haggai 2, starting in 6. This is one David got. He said, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the precious things of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now listen to this. In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, listen, the 24th day of September this year is the day of Jubilee. That's the day after Jubilee. So, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any food, shall it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by reason of a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? Well, what's a dead body? Well, that's the dead churches out there, isn't it? That's the dead apostate religion out there that he's talking about here. And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now, I pray you, consider from this day and backward, before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, through all that time, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 vessels, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the work of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider, I pray you, from this day and backward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month. There it is again. Saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. So it's kind of a spiritual figure here of what's fixing to happen, and it's going to happen in the world today. And David got that this morning. He said, I just came in and sat down, and my Bible was already open right here, and boy, we got all excited about it. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, you know, that's good. Praise God for that. And that was one of the words that we got this morning. And we got some more that were really, really good this morning concerning this, basically the same thing. So that's the kind of things that we've been getting in our morning prayer group is things that the Lord has shown us fixing to happen. And we also, y'all remember, some of you remember Julie Teague. She got Daniel 9:27, I believe that's the covenant, twice today. And that's the covenant, you know, the signing of the covenant. And that's fixing to happen as well. As a matter of fact, they're convening on the 15th of this month at the UN just to, you know, for that as well. I've read somewhere where they were going to do it on the 23rd. I could be mistaken on that, but that's what I heard anyway. Let's see here. Daniel 9:27. And he shall make a covenant, a firm, he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 7 years of tribulation. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And upon the wing of abomination shall come one that maketh desolate, and even unto the full end, and that determined shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. So we got that twice, or she did. She got that twice, and you know, we get words, and people get visions and dreams, and it's all coming together, just like Claudia had there about this darkness coming. This operation, this dark operation fixing to come. Yeah, I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. Matter of fact, I know it because it's already getting real dark out there, if not already glazed over with darkness. I mean, this is some perilous times we're in if you don't know the Lord. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to add to what we're talking about here, these end times, what's going on, and what you see the Lord is telling us?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, go ahead, Bart.
Where I tried to look that up on the UN website, UN associated website, the some kind of either a signing or a meeting or something. Can you identify those sources?
Because I think it's on UBM website where you can find those. Where they're going to be. It's in the news, actually, as well. It's been all over the internet where the French are making up this covenant to make a two-state Israel with the Palestinians and the Israelis, and also to split Jerusalem to go back to the 1967 borders, and with some few stipulations in there, it's going to happen. In the past, the United States has been a block to that, even coming to the table at the UN. But now we have a president that looks like he's all for it. But no, it's. I think it might be even be on the UBM website there somewhere. But I know that's it's on the schedule.
I'll try and find it.
You can go on the UN site and find it probably.
I tried to, and it looks like. Oh, maybe I'm not hitting the right buttons or getting the right pages, but they're when I look for it, like. Either the last night or the night before last, nothing doesn't seem to be on the docket until like later in the month. There's a startup of sorts somewhere around the 15th, and the stuff that they're going to pursue really doesn't kick in until much later, after the 25th or the 28th or the 20th, somewhere around there.
It could be.
Much later, so I'll look for it again.
Yeah, it could be. Now, this has been, I don't know, maybe a month ago that I saw something. I believe it said that the vote for the French Resolution would come up sometime around the 23rd. Now, that wasn't set in stone. That's just what I saw, and I thought, well, okay, that's – But I think the Pope is going to open up the UN on the 15th with his so-called, I've heard now, I don't know if this is going to be true or not, that he was going to urge all Catholics to succumb to this New World Order and not give any trouble. And that's just my words, but he'll gloss it over. But to succumb to this New World Order, to be under the authority of this New World Order that's coming upon the horizon. So, yeah, it's historical times here. bad as they are, but that's what it is. We'll see. We'll just see. You know, we hear, like my daddy used to say, daddy used to say, man, you could hear anything but money rattling and meat frying. So that's the sure thing. But anyway, we'll see what happens. You know, with all the words that we're getting and all the dreams and visions that are pouring in here now, relating to things happening and this tribulation starting and the anointing of the man child, the bride, the man child taking the bride into the wilderness. It's just, it's amazing what God's showing us right now. So, you know, if it doesn't happen, it's going to miss a good chance. But, you know, God's schedule sometimes is not our schedule. We put out what we got and we know in part and we prophesy in part, don't we?
Hey, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm.
Yeah. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I was just looking at Rob Miller's post. Well, it was a post that regarding something Rob Miller had. It was on June 7, 2015. And it goes into detail about the 15th of September. It was a bunch of links. And then another one, but I'm not sure what the date is. I'm just looking around for a date. UN getting involved in the covenant. But it may be dated. I just don't see a date on here.
Okay.
UN getting involved in the covenant, question mark.
Okay. Well, that's what we've heard. We don't know that. We've heard that vote is coming up and that the French are the one, Barack Obama or the U.S. has worked with the French to make this resolution. And they're going to, it looks like, you know, they may bring it out sometime during this U.N. meeting. So I don't know. We'll see. With that word that Julie Teague came this morning with Daniel 9:27, you know, the covenant with for 7 years here, 7 weeks, 7 week covenant. That kind of leads me to believe that they really are going to do this thing. You know, God's word's true. God's going to do what he's going to do. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Somebody in there is going to be signing some stuff. If that's what he wants, that's what's going to happen. If he doesn't, it won't happen. But with everything, and here's what our qualification for these statements is, everything that we have points to these things happening. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. It just, that's what it seems to be. So just to put a disclaimer on all of this, has anybody got any thoughts on what we're talking about here? Has anybody heard anything or seen anything or had words of knowledge from the Lord about the things that are fixing to happen?
Michael?
Yes.
You know, I've been with Brother Eels shortly after my husband died in 1995. He is truly a father to all of us. And from day one, he has prepared us for this time of times. Like if you know, when the people study his material on the internet, and you know, and he's such a wise father to keep us alert, you know, on the times, and so we can ride the storms. I was telling my little family, my daughter and my grandchildren, I call my grandmama's Ark of Seven. I've, you know, just recently told them that, you know, I keep them up to speed on the things that we talk about on our Brother Eels talks about. And I was telling them, I said, we need to remember that if something does happen, we'll never go hungry. And I'll give him that example of Brother Eels, you know, where God fed him and his five children, where there was no food. He fed them inside without food on the outside. And I said, you know, God already promises his children will never go hungry. And he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. I said, you know, just because you don't have water, don't think you're going to die, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you're going to die, you're going to die. But if you dwell on God's word, you know, it's impossible to die when you're in Christ until God decides for it's time for you to die. But I was giving them the example of Moses. He went 80 days without water, food and water. And you know that gentleman, that it's the miracle man, I think he went 70-some days in China. I don't know if you read that book, but he was persecuted in prison, and he didn't have food or water for 70-some days.
That's so, 74 days.
Is that how long? It was an amazing story.
74 days.
But I'm wanting my grandmama's Ark of Seven to remember these things so they won't be afraid, you know, if something hits. Because if something hits, we could be separated from each other, and grandmama could maybe, you know, they're in North Carolina. So, and there were some other things, but it's, you know, it's wonderful to have the peace, because, see, we're tucked inside of the blood of Jesus where it's totally safe. We are inside of Psalms 91, but we need to remember that so that fear does not take a hold of us, because if we fear, we will fail. But if we're inside of Christ Jesus' blood totally, and, you know, that's knowledge of the word, and Brother Eels has been teaching us for 100 years God's word. And so we're going to be just fine. But I think it's good I appreciate being alerted. Just, you know, I know that, you know, this isn't a sure thing, but it keeps everybody in shape. Hopefully everyone's fasting and praying, and, you know, examining their hearts to see if they're really in the faith, and we're going to be just fine. So anyway, I'm just thankful that Brother Eels is a father to all of us. There's not many fathers, but he is certainly one, and I'm just thankful.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Anybody got anything they'd like to add to this? In Matthew 28:18, it says this. This was right before Jesus went home, and he was talking to his disciples. He was talking to his disciples. This was right before he was crucified, or when he was ready to go home, actually. He was sending them out. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, now listen to this. All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, he's talking about all of us there, because he wasn't talking to just those disciples. He was talking to every one of us. And to teach others to observe all things. So that's what we're going to be doing. The word observe there means to hold fast to, and to keep, to hold fast to. You know, over the last couple of thousand years, we hadn't done that. We slid about as far as we can slide away from what was written in the Gospels, right? But the Lord is bringing this small group of people, this remnant bride, to a time and a place where they're going to be known on this earth once more, these miracles and power that God has given his people, this, with signs and wonders. It's going to be given to his people once again. But, you know, we got to hold fast to these commands that he gave to the first disciples. And that's what David has been teaching us over these many years. And some of us have been with him for a while, and some not so long. But it's that faith message and acting on that faith message that has brought us through and will take us through this tribulation time. In Jude chapter 3, it says, Beloved, while I was given all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. And we need to do that. We need to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And one of those things that he commanded his first disciples, and it was passed on to us, was Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. Now, who did he say that to? He said that to the disciples so that they would know what a real disciple was, right? Mark 16 and 14. And afterward he was manifested unto the 11 themselves as they sat at meat. And he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Well, the first disciples didn't get to do that, did they? So God was talking, Jesus was talking, obviously, to us too. Mark chapter 16, and then verse 16, he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and what? They shall recover. That's what the signs and the wonders we're going to see in the days coming. In fact, we're already seeing them in instances and places. He's taught them how to identify who his people really were, who his disciples were. And they passed that on, what Jesus gave unto them, to us. Now we're to pass this on to disciple the believers that are coming in the days ahead. There's going to be an influx of, I believe, millions all over the world coming into the kingdom. And you're going to have to tell them. And God will anoint us to give them the words to say and to teach them about the signs and the wonders. And we will have that power. We will have the power of God on our side. He's going to back up his people with signs and wonders, and that's why we're going to have such a great revival. If you remember, when Jesus was on this earth, they followed him around like a bunch of whooped pups. I mean, he couldn't hardly lay his head down because of the crowds that followed him around. They were that amazed at Jesus, and it's the same thing that's going to happen in the days ahead. The same thing, the signs and the wonders, is going to be a light to the people of the world. They're going to see that light, and they're going to see hope where there was no hope. And they're going to come running to that light. And it is up to us to get this faith message down and to get this holiness message down so that we can disciple these people that are coming in. You know, the church nowadays has not kept the word of God. They hadn't held fast to the commands that Jesus gave them. Luke chapter 10 and verse 16 says, he that heareth you heareth me. When you tell them, they're going to be listening to Jesus. And he that rejecteth you rejecteth me. You get that? And he that rejecteth me rejecteth him that sent me. The church today has rejected God's word. But we are now getting opened up to the real gospel, the real true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to carry this forth in the days ahead and bring people into it. Just like they did in verse 17 of Luke. And it says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. Man, they were happy to get that revelation. And a lot of people are going to be happy to get that revelation once again. Just like it was back then. They're going to think, well, it's been hidden from us. But you're going to be able to open up their eyes to see the God's going to open up their eyes through you. To open up their eyes to see the true gospel. And it's been there right along, all along, folks, but God's going to do it in a mighty way now. We need to make sure that we're not wasting our time with TV and video game or whatever that might distract us. Right now is the time to be in the Word and finding out what a real disciple is. Man, they were overjoyed to see that the demons had to bow down to, had to obey everything they told them. Luke chapter 10, verse 18 said, and 19 and 20 says this, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. Now, when he's talking about those snakes there, serpents and scorpions, he's talking about spirits. Y'all know that. And he keeps on, he says, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, he gave them this authority, and he commanded them to go out and give that authority to others, just like we're going to be doing here shortly. And we ought to be doing it now. He commanded them to teach the disciples to observe and to hold fast to everything that he spoke to them. And that's what we're going to be doing today. We don't have any other authority to do anything else but to share with the disciples what the Lord has given us as benefits and as an inheritance. Praise God. Praise God. That's what God's going to do in the days ahead. People are going to be walking around with signs and wonders following them. It's going to be awesome. Bible says all that's necessary for the gospel is to believe with our heart and confess with our mouth in Romans 10 and 18 or 8. But what saith that the word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart? That is the word of faith which we preach. And you ain't very far from healing or deliverance or anything you need right there. Now, in Romans 10 and 6, he says, but the righteousness which is of faith saith thus, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. You have to go up to heaven to get it? Does Christ got to come down for you to get it? No. Look, that word is right here. It's nigh you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. From anything, from any kind of infirmity, from any kind of demonic influence in your life, from anything, he's there. It's right there nigh to you. What did Jesus do at the cross? He became Lord over all of the curse, sin, and creation. Man, y'all give me a little chance. I'm going to preach something. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, verse 18 in Matthew 28, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. What does all leave out? I mean, we have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ backing us up in everything that we do as we are in the will of God. Isaiah 61:1 is a famous verse, one that Jesus quoted. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Oh, Isaiah was proclaiming that he's going to set the captives free and open the prison to those who are bound, delivering God's people from bondage to Satan and to the curse and to sin and on and on and on. And it's simple salvation. And it's, you know, that's salvation about your spirit, your soul, and the body. Because it's with your heart you believe the promises of the Word of God. And with your mouth you confess them. You start speaking out your mouth what you know that your heart's supposed to have in it. Because James says faith without works is dead. In Romans 10:10 it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. And verse 16 says, but they did not all hearken to the glad tidings, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's the same way today. A lot of folks don't believe, and they don't really confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses, do they? 1 Timothy 6:12, here's what it says. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal whereunto thou wast called, and didst confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. That word confess means to speak the same as, to speak the same thing. So we do that. We speak the same thing as Jesus did, don't we? Luke 12:8 says, and I say unto you, everyone who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And those angels, as you know, are ministering spirits, and they are sent here to do service for those that are heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:13 says, but of which of the angels hath he said at any time, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? They serve the heirs of salvation. And they're the ones who manifest these precious gifts that we agree with, right? Ooh, glory be to God. Man, I can get excited about this. Psalms 103:19, the Lord hath established his throne in the heaven, and his kingdom ruleth over all. I don't leave nobody out, does it? That includes the principalities, the powers, the spirit of cancer, all of those things that come against us. This northern army the Lord has told us is coming against us. They can't come against us if we've got the word of knowledge in our head. We've got the word, renewed our mind with the word of God, because we know that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And all we have to do is speak it with our mouth, command them to cease their activity against us, and come against them, and they got to go. Psalms 103:20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. You know, as ministers of his, we all ministers of God. We confess him before men. We speak the same as the Lord. In other words, we agree with the word of God. And all the angels are doing, they're sitting around waiting on you to agree with the word of God. And they hearken unto the voice of his word. You know, 4 years ago, the Lord showed me angels standing around in this house that we were all living in over in another town. Y'all remember the boarding house? And he showed me angels standing around in a vision. And they weren't doing anything because we weren't praying. And then a few days later, we got praying with one another, and we started praying in the spirit. And what I saw were angels were flying around outside. He put me in a vision again, and I saw angels flying low outside, and they finally just came down. They came up to the where we were praying, and they were looking in the window at us, and directly one would go off here, and another one would go off there, and another one would go off until they all had left. We were praying in the spirit, giving them instructions by God, by the Holy Spirit, to go do these things that he wanted us to be praying about. So they've got their ticket punched. Their time card has been punched. They're just waiting on the instructions on what work to be done. And that's why the Lord has given us that authority to pray against these things that he shows us. We've got authority to bind and loose, according to Jesus, Matthew 18 and 18. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We bind or loose by agreeing with the word of God, or we disagree with the word of God. It goes works both ways. We loose the devil to take advantage of us and to plunder us. If we don't agree with the word of God, or if we add to or take away from the word of God, we loose him to attack us. In other words, if we don't confess him, then we don't speak the same as. And he said, if we don't speak the same as, he said that we're under the curse of this book. Revelation 22 and 18 says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. And also, our name's going to be taken out of that book of life. So it's imperative that we agree with God's word so that we can have these benefits that God has given us. It behooves us to confess him boldly before men, even before men who don't believe. The Lord wants a testimony in the earth, and he wants us to confess him before men. Saved or unsaved, he said he would confess us before the angels if we did that. And I say unto you, everyone who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And then what happens? The angels administer the benefits because the word of God has been spoken. Amen. You got to have it. That way, that's the way God has made it for us. He would confess us before the holy angels if we confessed him before men. And if we do that, we're speaking the word of God before him. And so the angels get their authority from us. Do you see that? Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And if you don't agree with the word of God, you loose that devil and you bind God. Remember when Jesus went to his own hometown and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That unbelief that they had bound God from his word. How do you bind God with our unbelief? It's because God has bound himself by his own word. Once he's made a promise, and once he's made a condition, and if he were to disagree with it or annul it or not submit to it in any way, he's going to be a liar. And God's not a liar, is he? God's not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Amen. So God has bound himself by his word, but men sometimes they want to change that word, don't they? They want the Lord to administer the benefits of the kingdom while ignoring all the conditions that he puts in there for them. Romans 1 and 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And that's a condition, isn't it? The benefits of the kingdom are for believers because they are covenant people and not those loosely called Christians that we see every day. We have to be real careful because with our heart and with our mouth, we can administer salvation or we can administer the curse. We got both. We got authority in both ways, positive and negative. If you disagree with God, and if you preach the gospel of the devil or the bad news of the devil, that's what you're going to get. And God's going to teach you a lesson for it, too. Amen. Got to be forgiven, too, folks. That's one of the basic criteria of being a Christian. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You got to do it. If somebody has wronged you, forgive them. It ain't worth going to hell over. Confess, therefore, your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in this work. You know, over the years, I did a lot of ministering on the streets and with homeless people. And the main thing I saw, the number one thing that I saw that hindered healings and deliverances was unforgiveness in their heart for other people that they thought had wronged them. So it's imperative that forgiveness goes and leaves you. You ask God, if you say, "Well, I can't get rid of it," I always think about it. Well, ask God to take it from you, and he will. He says, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." See, God works all things after the counsel of his will. He knows what we need. He knows the things that hinder us. So ask him to take that unforgiveness away from you. Anything else that hinders your walk, ask the Lord to take it from you. He'll do it. But you have to have faith to believe it and start speaking it. "Oh, I don't have that problem anymore. God took it." Praise God. You know, we all have to do that at times. Some of us are still struggling with things that hinder our walk. Just start believing that God has taken it away from you. "The Lord take it from me. I don't want it anymore. I'm tired of being brought under the bondage of this thing, and I ask that you take it from me, Lord." And he'll do it. He'll do it. But you have to believe, "Oh, I don't have that problem anymore. God took it from me. Thank you, Father." And you just start thanking the Father. Just start thanking the Father. We just got through reading and studying as a Bible study group, "The Tongue Conquers the Curse." And the last chapter in that book talks about praising God after you have prayed the prayer of faith. And just, you only have to pray that prayer of faith one time. David, I believe, calls it, he says, you pray 1% of the time and you praise him and thank him 99% of the time. Boy, that is good counsel. And that's the way we ought to be. We have faith that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we shall have it. And so we start thanking God. And we're praising God for it. "Praise you, Father, that you have taken this bondage away from me. Thank you, Lord, you have taken this sickness away from me. Thank you, Lord, that you have taken whatever it is." Just start thanking him for it after you have prayed the prayer of faith about it. And you can get somebody that you trust to pray with you and believe with you, because one sins 1,000, two sins 10,000, and then it progressively gets better as you add more people. I think I figured up one time 7 people sins like 1 trillion people. It's like a trillion of them to flight. Well, praise God. That's good. Boy, we've been sending a bunch of them to flight here lately. Praise God. But that last chapter in that Tongue Conquers the Curse tells us that and teaches us that. David taught us that how to speak in faith all the time, not bringing the curse upon yourself. And that's acting on faith, right? So I'm gonna kind of back off here and see what y'all think about what we've been talking about. Amen. All right, anybody want to make a comment or share?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Linda.
I was just thinking how what can help us in this, Brother Eels taught this a long time ago, but in 1 John 4, 17b, where it says, as Jesus is now, so are we now in this world. We start confessing, as Jesus is now in this world, so are we, just like we do, like I'm healed when we're not, and allow those words, God will honor those words and bring us up to that scripture. People, you know, that's pretty far-fetched to think that as Jesus is, so are you in this world, but that's what God says. And we're to do things greater than Jesus did. But we've got to start with realizing that if Jesus is now, so are we now in this world. You know, that's okay for us to do that. So that's just a thought.
Amen. That's what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Hey, Michael. All right, anyone else got anything they'd like to add or talk about?
Yeah, Michael.
Hey, yeah, go ahead, Marlon.
What you were talking about, Mark 16, there's some of the Bibles that have taken that out. We had a lady come bring a Bible to our Bible study, and they had taken those verses out of that Bible.
What Bible was it? Just so I won't buy it.
Well, I can't tell you right now which one it was, but it was in there. She said, well, my Bible doesn't say that, and we got to looking, and they omitted those verses.
Well, for crying out loud.
I had heard that some were going to do that, but when I actually seen it, I was really surprised that it's already happening, or already done some Bibles.
Man, but that would scare me. Revelation 18 or 22 talks about that. You know, when you add to or take away from the Word of God, bad things happen. Yeah,
the other thing I wanted to say, when we were down there, I know you guys were reading that, Perfection Through Christ, and I read that after we got home, and I've read it twice since, and I don't forget whether it was you or Tim the other night was saying how you'd read over some of those more times and what you got out of it, and I really found that too, that I read that again, and you just get things out of it that you never got before, and now I'm on the one about, the tongue conquers the curse. And I've read that book before, too, but I'm just amazed at the things I get out of it by reading it over again. God just shows you things that you overlooked before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to find it here. Here it is. Yeah, that... We got to talking about, we have a Bible study here during the week, and some of us get together, and we go through one of these books all the way through it, and just like Marlon was talking about, you know, we've read them all once before, but when you read them and you study them, you get these little nuggets he's got hidden in there, it seems as if, because the first time you read them, you'll skip over them. But then you'll see it in the spirit, and it'll make so much more sense, and it opens up other things to you. So, yeah, that's good. Yeah, he said prayer is to be just 1% asking and 99% praising and thanking until you see it come to pass. And we know it's going to come to pass because Jesus said, believe that you received, that's past tense, them, and you shall have them in Mark 4. We might as well thank him because that's faith, calling the things that are not as though they were. we believe we have received, and our thanks is a way of expressing our faith. And he says, he goes on to say, our praise is also faith because it's bragging about what God has done and bragging on who he is. What has he done? Well, God's healed me. God has delivered me. God provided for me. And God made me holy. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And all of that is praise to God. That's just a smidgen of a paragraph that's in that last chapter there. And I was so blessed by that. To remember, I remember reading that years ago. It used to be called Power of the Tongue. And I saw that and I said, okay. But, you know, over the time we forget things. But the Lord will come back and he'll remind you of these types of things for us to put them back in our memory bank, you know. Just pray and believe and then start thanking the Lord and praising him for it. Praise God. That's awesome. All right, anybody else? Michael, do you have anything you'd like to share?
You talking to me, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, I was just with Michael Boldea's partner, the brother that travels with him, and he came through Big Forks, Iowa. That's why I didn't get on earlier. And had quite a lovely time with that brother. That's the one I told you about that was with the brothers in Kenya when that mob stopped their car and was going to hack them up with machetes. And that big dude stands up there and he had a commanding authority and all these people dispersed. And they had flipped a giant boulder in the road in front of the car. And this guy with a big smile on his face walks over and just flicks that boulder, which 10 men couldn't move it. He just flicks it with his foot. He goes flying off the road. And he says, you're to go to Nairobi. There's a motel there for you. And there's where you're to go. And he walks off with a big smile on his face. That's all. That was the deliverance. You know, this mob had surrounded the car. We're just yanking them out of their car. Get ready to hack them up with machetes when that happened. So anyway, so that was what, but that brother had a good time visiting with him. But I think all I know right now is, you know, what the Lord's really been dealing with my heart strongly is that we're right now to all of us take the low road. The scripture is becoming quickly my favorite scripture in the Bible, I think. And it says this, it's in Philippians. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded one toward another, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but with lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of another. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. And the whole world right now, well, I will, and it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess of things in earth and things under the earth. And things in heaven, everything's going to bow to the name of Jesus. But the Lord Jesus would not take upon himself, he wouldn't even, the glory that was rightfully his. He was equal with God and thought it not robbery. But he says he made himself of no reputation. He didn't seek that honor. He didn't only, not only not seek honor from men, he says, I don't receive honor from men. And just for God to purify and take that out of our hearts, because it's so much in our nature. That thing is so much in our nature to be somebody, to be known, to be heard, to be popular, to be famous, to be whatever. But if we can come to a place where we only seek the honor of God, we'll probably not be very much popular with people anyway, because he says the things that are highly esteemed among men, the same are an abomination in the sight of God. And when the rich young ruler comes to the Lord Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord says, and why do you call me good? There's none good but God alone. And he turns and says, and if you all being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that love him? You know, the bottom line is when you're comparing divine majesty with human beings, we're talking about comparing so many shades of blackness as all humans are compared to his majesty. And we just need to realize that we're tremendous debtors to the grace of God, and what a profound, unspeakable wonder it is that we should be called sons of God. He says here, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And he that has this hope within him purifies himself, even as he is pure. But the heaven, the brothers that have been to heaven, everything in heaven loves to serve. That's what heaven is all about. And for us right now to learn what Jesus taught, which is so contrary to modern Christendom, that the greatest among you, brothers, is the servant of all. And if I, your Lord and Master, had taken this towel and washed every one of your feet, you ought to do this one for another. And I'll tell you right now, brothers and sisters, the safe way right now is humility and mercy, especially toward the household of God. As much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And and the thing he says in the scripture, he says, and as you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. And right now, brothers and sisters, I encourage you, and God's dealing with me, we don't need to be famous with men. We don't want that. We really don't, because with it comes all kinds of snares and distraction. We need to seek the honor of the Almighty God. We need to seek to please him where our hearts desire. When David, it said, I always wondered what it means when it says David was a man after God's heart. What does that mean? He was a man when everybody else was, what can God do for me? How can he make me happy? How could David was saying, I want to make a house of God, a house for God's rest, a place for God to be blessed. His heart was, how can I honor, how can I please God, how can I make him happy? God wants a people that are seeking his honor, not just what God can do for them. American Christianity is so subjective. What Jesus can do for me, how he can make me happy, how can he bless me, how can me? When the early church, you look at that prayer in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, the whole congregation cried out in one accord unto God. And you'll never find another prayer anywhere written where the whole prayer doesn't have one personal pronoun in it. They didn't say us, we, me, my. It was all thou, O Lord, thou, O Lord. How can you put together a prayer crying out with one accord that doesn't have one personal pronoun in it? These people were so God-centered. They were so centered in Christ. They were so focused on the glory of the Almighty that they didn't even think about themselves. While Stephen's getting stoned, he says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And, oh, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He wasn't going, God, look what they're doing to me. He was in another realm. And may God bring us to that place where we walk above this whole realm of this world and the glory of man and the striving for the things this world strives after. And may we strive for the honor of God. Jesus said, I only do those things that please my Father. May we be in a place where we're at that place we say, oh, Father, how can I honor you? How can I please you, Lord God? Be pleased with the works of this life and the thoughts of my mind, the meditations of my heart. And I'm just right now, I've just been getting dealt with by the Lord. And I know that his way for us right now is to take as Jesus taught us. You know, you look at the scripture in there. Though I have, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have no charity, I'm become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and have the gift of prophecy and have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have that charity, I am nothing. And he says, and though I give my body to be burned and bestow all my goods to feed the poor and have no charity, I am nothing. He says, it profits me nothing. He says, charity suffers long, it is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never fails. But whatever there be prophecy, it shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And he says, and for now I know in part, prophesy in part, but that which is perfect is come. That which is in part shall be done away. And I believe that perfect is spoken of in 1 John. Perfect love casts out all fear. And God brings us to that place. That's what perfection is. He that feareth is not perfected in love. The perfection you're going to experience as a saint is when love is perfected in you. And that's where we need to come to. And brothers and sisters, I'm not preaching a message of just grace, grace, grace. We've seen the folly of that. But I'm telling you what, true love is not contrary to holiness. It absolutely goes together. They're married together. They're not contrary. The grace message preached today doesn't go with the grace message preached in the book of Titus, where it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, they should live soberly, righteously, and holy in this present world. That's what the true grace of God will do. But brothers and sisters, when we got perfected, we're not going to be seeking our own anymore, because that's what Jesus set the example. Let the mind be in you that was in Christ. Though he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he made himself of no reputation. We don't need a reputation, brothers and sisters. We don't need to be somebody. We don't need to be vainglory to seek that stuff. Brother, we can be quiet. We can be unseen, unheard, if that's what God calls us to. We can stay, go, live, die, speak, hold our peace. It doesn't matter. As long as we do those things, only those things that please our Father, and our heart's desire beats to honor the Most High God who gave us breath, who makes our heart beat, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, who's spoken life into us and has given us an eternal hope. Oh, brothers and sisters, how great of a marvelous thing it is. The kingdom of heaven is as a man, a merchant man, who when he found one pearl of great price, sold everything he had that he might possess that pearl. And God's called us to a high calling, and we don't even know. It says in Ephesians 2 that in the ages to come, he might show what is the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. And with perfect minds and a perfect body and a perfect kingdom with a perfect teacher, it's going to take ages to understand the mystery and the wonder of the grace of God that's called us from death to life and has breathed into us the breath of life. And it ought to bring a response in us that says, oh, Father, I'm at your service any way that I can honor you, any way that I can please you. Take this life as a living sacrifice, not in theory, but in truth. And let it be poured out for your glory, Lord God. Honor your name in me, and I don't care what that looks like. I don't care what the price tag is. I'll take it. I'll sign on the dotted line. I must have this pearl, that eternal kingdom, to dwell with you, to worship from the depth of our spirit with perfect bodies and a perfect heart and perfect understanding, to know as we are known and to worship him forever. What great honor. Brothers, we've been called to a calling we can't even frame with our carnal mind. The only way we're going to perceive the majesty of what God's called us to, the only way we're going to be able to perceive the glory of the calling on our lives and understand the hope of our calling is by the Spirit, by revelation, and understand by faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, you have a great and high calling. Let's walk worthy of the Lord. Let's understand, he says, exceeding great and precious promises. He says, he's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. And he says, wherefore, given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that's in this world through lust. And I just believe with all my heart, may God open our eyes, a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God to understand the hope of our calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us, in the saints of God. May God open our eyes and open our spirits. I'm pleading with God to see beyond the veil of this natural realm, because I tell you, brothers, we've barely touched the edge. We've barely touched the hem of his garment. And he's called us not to have a little sustenance. He wants us to feast with him, to be seated with him in heavenly places, not in theory, but in truth. That's not just a lovely position by faith, but it's an actual walk that God wants to take us into the realms of the Spirit, where we have the mind of the Spirit, where we think his thoughts, we speak his words, we do his work, where it's not us that lives, but Christ himself living his life in us and through us for his own glory.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Michael. That was awesome. Anybody got any comments would like to share? Nobody? Okay. What about anybody? We've got probably about 13, 14 minutes left. Has anybody got anything that they'd like to share themselves or comment on or would like prayer for something? Okay. Well, what do y'all want me to do? Sit here? I'm about talked out now. No, I got a lot more to say. The Word of God is true. We know that. I've talked a little bit about faith tonight. And, Michael has talked about what we should be doing and we need to be doing is believing God for all these things. That brings me to, I was looking at it a while ago. Oh, yeah, Philippians 4. When he said Philippians, I turned over there and I saw this. Of course, I know this. It's the one that I really like. And it's, my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, he's talking to us. He knows what we need. He's got everything figured out. All we got to do is rest in the knowledge that he's going to do that. Instead of trying to run around here trying to be our own, do our own salvation in our own self. We talked about in the past about picking yourself up by your bootstraps. No, that's not what God wants. God wants to do it himself in through you. He wants to get that these things done. If you need provisions, ask God. He'll do it. But you got to believe and confess it with your mouth and start thanking him for it. His power is made perfect in our weakness, isn't it? He says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When you at your weakest point, and you know you can't do anything to get yourself out of that circumstance, boy, that's when God can really show himself strong. That's when miracles happen. When you get in those type of situations and call on God, he loves to put us in those situations where we can't do anything for ourselves. We have to believe him for it. And that's a great place to see a miracle. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen in my life numerous times. And he's not a respecter of persons. He'll do it for everybody here. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, that's past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Man, listen, when you've got the Lord himself backing you up with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, what are you worried about? All of our blessings are in Christ. And as we learn to abide in him, we're going to learn what Paul said. We're going to learn that verse right there. It walks around with us, and we know it, and we know that God's going to back us up in everything that we do as we walk in his will. And we walk in his will by his power, not ours. So it's a win-win situation for us when we believe by faith. 1 John 2:24, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. In other words, we need to contend earnestly for the doctrine, the faith that was given to us from the beginning, like we talked about earlier. Amen. That's that faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And if we contend for that, if that's what we're putting into our hearts, then guess what? We are abiding in the Son. That's what the scripture says. It says also in 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Jesus was our example, wasn't he? He wasn't only our sacrifice, he was our example too. He taught us what it was to walk like a disciple. And his disciples walked that way after him. And if you put this word of God in your heart, like they did, you're going to do what they did. It's like Linda was quoting earlier, what the Lord said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do greater things you'll do. Well, praise God. I'd like to think that all of us are at that point to where we believe that if it comes to it, we'll do it because the Lord's backing us up and we understand what the scriptures say and he's given us that understanding and we just believe God's going to do it. We need that original word that Christ taught his disciples, don't we? And the disciples taught unto us. And we need to know that God has called us to walk in his steps. And he has. He's told all of us to walk in his step. Now, one other thing we need to talk about here just a little bit. 1 John 3:6 says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. And that makes it almost impossible in some people's minds. Unless you understand what sin is in the New Testament, right? James 4:17 says, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It takes knowledge to make sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, you can be ignorant of a lot of things and that blood of Jesus is going to cover you and you can still abide in Christ. And when you stumble, listen, just ask God forgiveness. He's faithful to do that. You might have to go through a little bit of spanking there, but if you're willful disobedience, but he will forgive you. And you get back on there and don't condemn yourself. Just get back on and start doing what God wants you to do. Amen. This is an exciting time we're coming to, folks, and we need to be ready. Very exciting times, I believe. I think we're going to see some things as Christians, as true Christians, believing the word of God, that's going to absolutely boggle our mind to believe that God would do the things that he's fixing to do for his people. His grace is going to abound much more than it has in the past. He says that in his word. And I believe it. And so we're going to do some mighty exploits for the Lord. He's going to do them through us, actually. And it's going to be exciting times. And I pray that we all get to meet one another at some point in time while we're still here. Because I want to hug everybody's neck that we've been talking to for these last few years. I truly do. All right, anybody else would like to say anything? Am I talking to myself? I know I ain't talking to myself. I know there's somebody out there. Hey, Tim, are you awake?
I'm awake, sir.
Okay, I just making sure I was being heard.
No, you're being heard. You're being heard.
Okay. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to pray about before we leave? Well, Father, I lift up my brothers and sisters to you. Lord, right before your throne, I ask, Lord, that you place it in their hearts a hunger for your word, Lord, a hunger to run after you like the Shulamite bride did, Lord, that nothing else matters in their life, Lord, but you. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you place all of that in me as well, in every one of us. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you restore our memory banks, that the things that you do place in there, we'll remember where they are. We've got them filed, and all we have to do is wait on you to bring them forth, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that these days ahead, that you show us that darkness that's in our heart so that we can repent of them, get rid of them, get rid of those demons, those spirits that have hindered our walks. And I thank you, Lord, that we're all walking out a holy walk and that the light of the gospel shining out of us like a beacon. And I thank you, Lord, for that. I praise you, Father, for all the powerful signs and wonders that are going to follow all of these saints of God on this outreach fellowship, Lord, this conference call. I like to call it a fellowship because that's actually what it is. And I thank you, Lord, for that light that you're going to send forth out all across this nation and into the world. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And Father, if it be in your will, I ask that you place it in their hearts to come see us so we can hug their legs. And I thank you for that, Lord. I want to meet everybody here and see what they look like and hug them and thank them for the time and services that they've had with you, Lord. Father, I just lift them all up to you and ask that you bless them in a mighty way, Lord. Give them dreams and visions, Lord, for their particular things that you have for them, Lord. Show them the things that you're going to do in their lives in the future. Praise you, Father, for that. And I ask that you bless every one of us with the words to speak to the lost at the time that we need to speak it, Lord, and the words to say that would change their very lives. Because there's going to be a lot of people looking and seeking here in the next few days, in the next few weeks, looks like. And Father, I thank you for that. I ask for your anointing upon all of them, Lord. Give them that authority. Show them their authority they have. And you say in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 that you've given us all authority over, you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And the enemy is everything that the curse is, Father. And we thank you that we believe it and we're walking in it because you said it. In Jesus' name. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters on this conference call. And I ask, Lord, that you be with Tim and Luke tomorrow as they go to Ohio and just be a special time with them, Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask that you fill up that truck with them, with yourself and with them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I ask the same thing for everybody in the conference call tonight, that you would fill them up to overflowing, Lord, and that they would just leak out on everybody around them tomorrow in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody, and God bless.